tonight, the very first verse on the sheet for the year, because you didn't have it yet, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and, or 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. And rather than just teaching it to you tonight for a memory verse, I've chosen tonight to preach from this topic as a kicking off point for our study and consideration of this year in knowing and doing the will of God. God's will for me in 2023, at the very beginning of this year, this concept in chapter 5 and verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians is one that I believe is an important one, because it's often an attitude issue that we might find difficult. In fact, I don't know what's going to happen in 2023. Do you? No. Might there be things in 2023 that are difficult for us? Were there difficult things for you last year? Well, there certainly may be things that are difficult. Pastor, this is looking great. You're already talking negative about this coming year. Well, I know that we live in a sin-cursed body and in a sin-cursed world, and there are going to be difficulties in both of those things. But I also recognize that my ability to thank God, and that's what this verse says, that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That in everything to give thanks will be challenging if I have a doubtful eye towards what God is doing. If I have a suspicious attitude towards why these things are happening. But if I have a correct understanding of God, and I have a correct understanding of what He is doing, giving thanks in everything won't be determined on how well things went or how badly things went. They will be because I know who He is. And I want you to have that as a focus as we go throughout this year. So would you follow along with me? Let's actually begin in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Would you read verse 18 with me? Chapter number 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, would you teach us tonight from this passage? Would you encourage us in the practice of giving thanks, of being a thankful people? Help us to see our Savior and His practice in this as our example. And we'll praise you for what we'll learn tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The participation in this matter of God's will is something I want us to grow in. When Paul spoke to the church in Thessalonica by the Holy Spirit, he was not merely telling them, this is a good idea and observe this in me, but don't have part in it yourself. He was inviting them to take part, to be active participants in the very things that he had done and in the very things that Christ had done. In fact, that is part of teaching. The teaching method is not just listen to what I say to you, but also that you would be involved in it. That there would be a passing on of what Christ has taught, what the apostles would teach, and that those that followed the apostles who followed Christ would also do it. You know that you learn best when you participate. How many of you have realized in school or remember back in school that when you only were an onlooker and really not engaged or in participation, you didn't learn as much? How many of you experienced that? And you're like, no, Pastor, I was never in that way. Yeah, some of us are honest. In fact, there are studies that have shown that you have about a 10% capacity to remember what you hear. Now, if you could remember 10% of everything you'd hear, just what you'd hear, you'd be in the genius level. You realize you hear a lot of things that come in and go right out. They're coming through and leaving. But when you go from just hearing to then visually seeing something, your retention of that thing increases. You've probably observed this. When you have a teacher that doesn't just speak, but also visualizes or illustrates it, there's more retention. But you know what the most effective way for you to retain information and retain something is when you're a participant in it, when you are practicing it, when you're involved with it, when you go from hearing information to giving that information to someone else, teaching it to someone else, your retention goes up to around 90% of what you've both heard, seen, and now you're giving it back. And the church ought be a place where there is giving out of what we are receiving. What we hear and see in God's word needs to be something that we're practicing well, and that we be practicing it constantly. It's not enough for you and I to follow along in our Bible and just hear that or just see someone else practicing it. God wants us to be active participants. And these things at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5 are participation things. Paul is encouraging that church in Thessalonica, here's what you need to be involved in. Get involved with this. And involvement with rejoicing evermore. Involvement with praying without ceasing. Those two are certainly the will of God. God's desire is for us to be rejoicing. God's will is for us to be in prayer. But I want us to focus in on verse 18 tonight. And specifically the matter of rejoicing, yes, praying, yes, but doing so in thanks. Thanks in everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And a couple of things I want you to consider about this verse. First of all, giving thanks means to be grateful. To be grateful. The word in the Greek is eucharisto, which, does that sound like another word that you've heard before? Eucharist, the Eucharist. And the Catholic word Eucharist, the Catholic Church uses that term, and they would use that term derived from this word in the Greek, that is not to say that when we take part in the Lord's Supper, as the Catholics believe, they believe that the Eucharist is that which becomes the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and that in receiving that, you're receiving Christ, and you receive grace through that. We don't believe that or teach that. I think it's important for you to know. The emphasis of giving thanks, though, is absolutely part of what we do when we come to the Lord's Supper. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we are in thankfulness, in remembrance of what our Savior has done. In fact, that's the admonition, this do in remembrance of me. The remembrance, the thankfulness of what our Savior has done ought to be at the outset of every one of us tonight as we participate in the Lord's Supper. But having an attitude of giving thanks is not sometimes how we think of the Lord's Supper. And I wanted us to consider that well tonight as we come to this, that it is God's will for us to be about the matter of giving thanks like our Savior did. In fact, a number of times that expression of gratitude was used by Jesus Christ. One of the times in which we find that word, as it's used here, was when he broke the bread and gave thanks for the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. He gave thanks. He was grateful. There wasn't an attitude of unthankfulness or presumption. There was thankfulness, and it brought glory to God. And at the Lord's Supper as well, when he would have that time with his disciples right before his death, as he would recognize what he would do, that body being broken for others, there was thankfulness on display. And I believe that that's important for us. The expression found here in this letter to these Thessalonians was one of thanks. Look back at chapter 1, verse 2. He even uses the expression at the beginning of the chapter, in chapter 1, verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. In many ways, this bookend of giving thanks represents the attitude of Paul towards these believers. We give thanks to God always for you all. The gratitude isn't about the people or the circumstances. The gratitude is towards God. The gratefulness is towards what God is doing. Their spiritual growth was cause for thanksgiving. Look in chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2 and verse number 12. He says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So this thankfulness was towards what God had done in their salvation. This thankfulness was towards God in the continued growing that was going on in these believers. Now, the matter of giving thanks is a necessary discipline. It is an absolute necessity. When the Word of God says that we are to give thanks, this is the will of God, in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not an optional thing. Now, when I say it's a necessary discipline, don't think for a moment that someone's keeping track here at church to hear how many times you're giving thanks. And if you do it enough times or enough people hear it, your Christian grade book has an A+ in it from somebody here. Do you know that this isn't something that we are going around grading? This is something that when we talk about disciplines of the Christian life, whether it's reading of the Bible, whether it's prayer, whether it's any of these things that are the will of God, these are things that God is desiring of us to know. It's good. You know that the will of God is good? The will of God is not an obligation in some kind of, oh, are they going to catch me not doing my homework this week? We live in so many responsibility-driven things like that, that we feel sometimes pressures of, did I match up to what they met, what their expectations were? Did I meet up to what I was supposed to do? Don't look at the will of God that way towards other people. Horizontally looking at the will of God will frustrate you. Can I just tell you that? Horizontally thinking about, well, did I make enough effort at this to make everyone happy? Would you look upwards as you consider the will of God, as you consider this matter of giving thanks and everything, keep it vertically inclined, looking upwards. This is a spiritual discipline, and we ought to do this, and our Savior gives us the example. The disciples observed Jesus giving thanks when he distributed the food at the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000, and their observation and recollection of Jesus thanking God for the body and bread would have been something that would have helped their own spiritual life. Did they see Jesus sacrifice himself for their good? Did they see Jesus sacrifice himself for their salvation, for the salvation of others? How then would they go about their life as apostles? Well, in similar fashion, selflessly sacrificing, selflessly giving. And that kind of selfless sacrifice goes hand in hand with a thankful, grateful heart. A grateful heart readily lives in sacrifice. And so that mindset must be the thinking that we have. Now, back again in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, I want to just give you a couple of things tonight for you to consider and take notes on in this matter of being thankful and everything. Number one, giving thanks is synonymous with God's will. These go together. So when I think of giving thanks, I ought to recognize I am doing the will of God when I live in grateful attitude. The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's clearly a command to give thanks, an imperative, but it's further emphasized by the statement, this is what God wants. When I know that something is just a command, I may just think, I've got to do this because somebody tells me to, but I want you to look beyond it. It's more than just thinking of it as a pastor saying this or a teacher saying this. This is the desire of God for you, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is what God wants us to be about. How much of your life do you think through the filter of, I'm doing this because it's what God wants? How much of your life do you operate thinking, I am doing what I am doing because this is what God wants? Can that define your life? Can it define your life that you do what you do knowing it is what God wants? I believe it absolutely can. I believe it absolutely can. You know that you don't have to be a pastor to know that you're in the will of God, or an evangelist and know that you're in the will of God. Do you know that every single one of us can know that we are doing what God wants us to do? That I can know I am doing what God wants. And one of the ways I can know that is when I am in this matter of thankfulness. Sometimes we think, I don't know if I can be thankful about this situation. And we'll talk about that some more in a moment. Sometimes we think circumstances are going to have to determine whether I can be thankful or not. But I want you to see that whatever the situation you're in, there is a reason for us to give thanks. And I can know that I am in the will of God. In 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul would tell the people in Corinth, he is an apostle by the will of God. Now, by the will of God, he's in that position. Was that position always filled with things that went well? Was being an apostle something that always had easy circumstances, easy situations of life? No. So why would he go around telling people he's an apostle by the will of God if the will of God must always be good, shiny, easy things. You know that sometimes people look at the will of God as the perfect will of God, and they think of it as though it's always easy or always filled with no problems, no suffering, no difficulties. That's the will of God. Can I tell you, that's not how we define the will of God in the Word of God. You're not going to go through the Word of God and find, will of God, no problems. Not the will of God, bad things. That's not how you see it throughout Scripture. But sometimes Christians have these lenses that we look through that say, if things are going to be good, that's God's will. If things are going to be hard, that certainly can't be God's will. You don't find that. And you can't practice what this verse says if you think that way. The will of God is synonymous with giving thanks, not because things go well, not because things are easy. The attitude that says, I will only give thanks when it fits my schedule, or when I feel like it, or when plans work out, that attitude is really very carnal. It's very self-focused. The model prayer of our Savior in Matthew chapter 6 was this: after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The attitude of, God, thy will be done. What you desire, that is what I am looking for. God's will must be our focus. And is giving thanks an optional thing to you? I want to ask you that question tonight at the outset. Is God's getting praise and God being thanked and giving thanks, is that an optional thing for you? It ought not to be. Obviously, this verse tells us in everything, give thanks. Another faulty way to give thanks is thinking that thanks can be conditionally given based on circumstances. Well, I can give thanks in this situation, but there's no possible way I can be thankful in this situation. Have you ever been there? Secondly, giving thanks is to be unconditionally practiced. Not only is it synonymous with God's will that I give thanks, but it is also to be unconditionally practiced. This verse does not say you give thanks when everything goes well, but when it doesn't and everything falls apart and you're having a very rough time, then don't give thanks. Is that what you read? No, it's an unconditional statement in everything, unconditionally. It's not if things feel like it, if you want to, unconditionally. Have you ever heard someone look at what's going on in our culture and our world and perhaps the stock market and say, wow, I can sure be thankful this past year? And maybe this past year is the bad example, right? But can you be thankful this past year? Yeah, you absolutely can. Yeah, but Pastor, I lost so much. Okay, where did it all come from to begin with? Who gave you something that could be lost? You know, it is so easy for us to look at it in the light of, I will give thanks when things go well, but I will not give thanks when things go poorly. That is not the way that we're to think. If you go about that, you will very much struggle with God's will. Can I just tell you that? And the church in Thessalonica knew already what it was to suffer. They knew already what Paul had suffered while he was with them. You read that in Acts 17. The short time he was there with them, things didn't go well. He got beat up. The gospel that this guy preaches gets you beat up? Yeah, but they still believed, didn't they? And they believed and turned from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his coming. You know that that ought be an encouragement to you. We live in such a comfortable world. Church, you say, I don't know if I feel comfortable. Friend, you didn't wonder if you would have food this week, did you? You didn't wonder even if you were going to be able to go somewhere. Maybe you thought, I don't know if I can go as far, but you were able to get here today. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, many of you drove more than 5 miles. Do you realize how amazing that is technologically? We have so many blessings, so many benefits, and yet we feel like we're having a rough year. We can be so ungrateful, can't we? And it's important for us to see that gratefulness, giving thanks, is to be unconditionally practiced. It is to be unconditionally. It's not if the stock market tanks, I can't be thankful, or if my health is gone, I can't be thankful. If I lose a loved one, can there still be thankfulness? You know, this is an important part for us to see. Did Paul address that to the church in Thessalonica? Look back at chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have what? No hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, what's the next words? Comfort one another with these words. Hey, be encouraged, even in the midst of the fact that others have gone on before you. There is reason for rejoicing. There is reason for comfort. There's reason for thanks. And I think as a church, we must be careful not to say, I will give thanks if. If you live with a conditional, if things go well, I'll praise God. If things turn out the way I want them to, I'll thank God. No. You are to give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To be thankful doesn't mean that we find pleasure or enjoyment in the particular details, though. Are you saying, Pastor, that when things go bad, I've got to just be hopping up and down excitedly happy? That's not what Paul says when he says, give thanks. Now, sometimes that's what we often think. Well, Pastor says, I lost everything, and I'm supposed to just be happy and just giddy about this. Is there a painfulness oftentimes connected with that which I can give thanks about? Yes. Can you imagine when Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the cup on the night in which he was going to be betrayed, on the night that he would know the next day he's going to go to the cross and suffer? Did Jesus feel any pain connected with that which for which he would be grateful? The answer is yes. In fact, what was his prayer on that night? He went a little further and fell on his face after that time with those disciples in Matthew 26:39, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And that is an attitude we have for an example. It is not that we think, oh, I'm just excitedly happy. No, that's not gratefulness in the same sense. The gratefulness is seeing that God's purposes will be done. And I am good with that. I am thrilled with him being in control, not me. You know, that is hard for us to take out of our hands sometimes, isn't it? To say, I'm okay with him being in control. I don't get it all right now. I don't see why this happened. I want to well prepare us as a church, because I know there will be difficulties coming ahead. Now you say, that's exciting for our coming year, Pastor. I want to tell you, one of the worst and most difficult things for you to experience may happen this year. But when it does, you can trust God beyond what you can see, beyond what you feel, beyond what seems impossible to go through. And if our young people and our adults and everyone in between in this church has an attitude that says, I will give thanks, I will be grateful in every situation, I will praise, I will thank God, you know what? We will be able to go through a lot and be able to continue to do the will of God, continue to do what we're supposed to do, and not get sidetracked. Not get defeated or discouraged for momentary times. You know, it's very easy if I haven't made that a process of my life and continually living in an attitude of gratefulness regardless of circumstance. When something happens that may shake me or confuse me, isn't it possible for me to go from that which seemed like I thought everything was going well, and then boom, and to wonder what's going on, and then to suddenly say I have doubts or I have questions, and not do the will of God in other areas? Does God have plans for us besides this matter of giving thanks? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know that doing the will of God in one aspect of life that I know encourages the doing of the will of God in others? When I am not grateful, will that impact other areas of obedience? It absolutely will. When I look at a situation and say, I don't know why this had to happen to me, and I question it, and I argue with it, and I won't go forward, you know that I may well be missing other things that God wants me to do, other things God wants me to be involved in. And I don't want us to be in that position. Giving thanks is to be unconditionally practiced. Here's a third thing tonight. Giving thanks is to be done with humility. Giving thanks is to be done with humility. Back in verse 17, the statement, pray without ceasing, precedes this. How do we go about prayer? We admit our need, right? There is an admission of need when we ask in prayer. Don't give thanks in pride this year. As you go from asking God for things, which you must, you can't go through this year relying upon what you can provide and bring to the table. You ask, you live in prayer, you live in dependence. And as you do so, you give thanks because of what God has provided, not what you've done. Isn't it easy at times when things go well for us to say, thank you, God, for what you have provided, but really what we're doing is patting ourselves on the back? You say, I would never. I don't know that we even do it intentionally. I think sometimes the praising of God is our praising God because things worked out well for us. Would I praise God in that very same way if things had gone differently? Do I praise God because I feel like I accomplished something? This reminds me, if you look over in Luke 18, verse 11, Luke 18 and verse 11, a kind of thankfulness that is to be avoided. Luke chapter 18 and verse 11. A kind of attitude that Jesus pointed out. Well, Luke 18 and verse number 11. Verse number 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And verse 11 of chapter 18, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, what's interesting here is, God gives us an insight into what these men were thinking. Do you know that it is very possible for us to take pride in, God, I thank thee, and yet for there to be in that some degree of pride, of look at what has taken place because of how I've done things. You know, don't ever let that creep in, Christian. This is not the thanksgiving that God is pleased with because it was never prayer, was it? There was never request made by that man, the Pharisee. It was all about, look at what I've done. Look at what me. Look at me. And be very careful of that in your prayer. Be observant of any kind of self-glorying that's going on in prayer, because in that self-glorying, there can very quickly be no thankfulness, no humility. Giving thanks ought to be with humility. And we live in an arrogant age when we can think ourselves good or holy or right or better than others. Don't be caught up in that. Have you ever caught yourself in your thinking and recognized, I'm thinking in a carnal way? You haven't said anything. You haven't told anyone else. You just realized, you know what? I am thinking way better of myself than I should right now. You know, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God this year. And I will tell you, there's battle that goes on in prayer, isn't there? If you haven't experienced that, as you pray more this year, you're going to notice your flesh wanting to pick up and get involved where it needs to get out of the way, where the glory and the focus and the emphasis needs to go to God. There will be this like turning towards ourselves that goes on and exalts what we do and thinks greatly of ourselves. And it's rotten. It's rotten to the core. It's no good. It has no place in this. And it needs to be recognized that if I'm going to give thanks correctly in everything, I can't do so in pride. You're not to give thanks. You're not giving thanks correctly if you're doing so in pride. And it reveals self-dependence when it comes out. So deal correctly with giving thanks without pride. Do so with humility. Here's the final thing. Give thanks with Christ in mind. And as we go to the Lord's table here in a few moments, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In Christ Jesus. Christ is your pattern. That when Jesus was ministering to those 12, he gave thanks. When Jesus was ministering to 5,000, he gave thanks. I find that interesting. Christ's gratitude on display and that's recorded for us in Scripture is not just as a model for us to give thanks, as it were, before a meal just for the sake of giving thanks. It's a good practice. But can't we get into the practice and forget the purpose? Has that ever been something you've caught yourself? You know, we bow our head and we close our eyes and we pray a quick prayer, but gratitude wasn't on our mind. Shame on us. Shame on us. Have I ever been guilty of that? Yes. I want to deal with that this year. I want to deal with any kind of mode of, I did something because it was supposed to be done, but I didn't do it the way that God wanted it done. I didn't do it in the thinking, the attitude that he wanted. And giving thanks with Jesus Christ in mind is to be our pattern this year. As you think of doing the will of God in this matter of giving thanks and being grateful, Christ Jesus needs to come right to your mind. Christ needs to come up to your mind and be the focus of this. Don't give thanks this year in a flippant or thoughtless way. I really do believe we presume much upon the benefits that we give thanks for. How often is it that we've thought, give us this day our daily bread, as though God is the one that we are looking to provide it? As though we realized he is the provider, and I'm grateful. And this all could be taken away in just a moment. And tomorrow, I would be necessity calling out for it because I would have no other source. I wouldn't have Kroger. I wouldn't have Walmart or Aldi. I couldn't go there and take care of all of my needs the way I always take care of them. You know that, church, sometimes we've gotten flippant with our thankfulness. And this attitude needs to be corrected when I focus in on my Savior and seeing him. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." By him. Because of Christ, thankful. Because of Christ, thankful. Giving thanks with Christ in mind. And know that our thinking about God's kindness and God's love for us through great trials or through great difficulties would result in our thanks. Now, we have a very practical way to give thanks tonight. A very practical way to commemorate what Christ has done on our behalf and what God has provided for us in Christ.